Our message tonight is out of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10 to chapter 10, verse 12, predicting Messiah's refreshing blessings opposite false shepherds. God promises to bless His people if they follow Him in His truth, but false spiritual shepherds abound to deceive and to mislead them from God and His truth and to sin and resulting divine discipline. Now, this truth was revealed in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10 to chapter 10, verse 12. And works both to motivate us fervently to follow the Lord, as well as to want to discern and to depart from false spiritual guides. Well, this section deals with predicting Messiah's refreshing blessings opposite the false shepherds. Our Lord is going to establish worldwide peace at His return. That's what Zechariah 9, verse 10 teaches. Let me just read that verse. And I, this is speaking of the Messiah, Zechariah 9, 10, I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be broken off. And he, shifting to the third person, he shall speak peace unto the Gentiles. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river Euphrates even unto the ends of the earth. This is a marvelous verse. God predicted that He would terminate the existence of war chariots, war horses, and battle bows at the start of the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephraim signifies the old northern kingdom, Jerusalem the old southern kingdom in the divided monarchy, hinting that the final unification of Israel's monarchy would occur under Jesus Christ. See, the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom split not long after David under Rehoboam, and they never really got together as a kingdom. They are going to get together as a kingdom when Jesus Christ comes back, and they'll be under one king, under the son of David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Messiah's proclamation of peace will extend to the nations, and His rule will be worldwide. One of the most wonderful passages in Scripture is verse 11, He shall speak peace unto the heathen. That's what the King James Version says. It actually means unto the Gentiles. Can you imagine? The word speak is actually to announce. God's going to announce peace. He's going to announce peace to the Arabs. He's going to announce peace to the Russians, Canadians, the Americans, the Africans. All of the people groups is going to announce peace. And of course, they're all going to be believers at that point. But it's an amazing thing. And His dominion shall be from sea to sea. That would be the Mediterranean Sea into the Gulf of Aqaba, the Gulf of Persian Gulf and so forth. They were thinking of right around Israel. But then from the river, that's Euphrates, even to the ends of the earth. In other words, it's going to be worldwide. That's amazing. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to rule North Korea. He's going to rule South Korea and Japan and Russia and this country and Canada and Brazil, Nigeria, Zimbabwe. All of these countries, and wherever there are problems, He's going to rule it. It's going to be a time of tremendous peace. And we're looking, of course, you and I, if we know Christ as our Savior, we're going to be with Him. We're going to come back after the rapture. We're going to come back to the earth, and we're going to rule with Him. You'll be on thrones, I'll be on thrones, and we'll be ruling with the Lord Jesus Christ in His messianic kingdom. 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Well, our Lord is then going to deliver Israel from her Gentile enemies. That's what chapter 9, verses 11 through 17 is all about. Let me read verse 11. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have set thee forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. What's he talking about? Based on the Abrahamic covenant made by sacrificial blood offerings in Genesis 15, God promised to free Israel from the empty cistern used as a dungeon. And this is a reference to her national exiles. People were often kept in dungeons or put down there when they were prisoners. God's going to free her from that. And then verse 12, God will richly, doubly bless Israel in restoring her richly to her past blessings. Verse 12, turn you to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, even to the day I declare it, then I will render double unto you. In other words, I'm going to render double the blessings that I had. Now, Israel did get blessed when she got back into the land in Jesus' day, but God's going to bless her doubly. There are passages in the Old Testament that says that the desert will bloom like a rose. The Bible says that on the tops of the mountains, you'll have grapes growing. Normally, that doesn't happen. You have to have better soil, lower, and so forth. But even the tops of the mountains will be available. They'll be luscious. People will tie a donkey to a grapevine and not think anything of it. Of course, donkeys have a capacity to eat and just to tear up the foliage. But no one will think anything of them because the grapes will grow just like weeds. It's going to be a marvelous time. Also, God promised to rouse the sons of Zion against the sons of Greece implying that God would work to give Israel victory over her Grecian overlords during the era of the Maccabeans. Verse 13, "And when I have bent Judah for me, filled the bow with Ephraim, and raised up thy sons, O Zion, against thy sons, O Greece, and made thee as the sword of a mighty man." This was actually fulfilled before the life of Christ. You've probably heard of the Maccabean Revolt. If you have a copy of the Apocrypha, maybe in an old Catholic Bible at home or something, the passages in 1st, 2nd Maccabees, I think there are four books of Maccabees, they relate the events that occurred where the Jews overthrew the Greeks. And, of course, God here promised that he would equip them to do just that. And that's what they did. They overthrew them, and that according to the blessing of God. And then, this victory over Israel's Greek oppressors foreshadows her final victory over Gentile foes in the preparation of the Messianic Kingdom. Verses 14 to 17, "And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts shall defend them, and they shall devour and subdue with sling stones. They shall drink and make a noise as though wine, and they shall be filled like bowls as the corners of the altar. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. For how great is his goodness, and how great is his beauty. Corn shall make the young men cheerful, and new wine the maids." So these are all pictures of bounty and blessing. The description of a thunderstorm controlled by God in verse 14 pictures poetically Israel's empowerment for victory over her enemies, verse 15. It's interesting, I hadn't planned it this way, but this morning's sermon, of course, was on the hailstorm that God sent as one of the plagues. And here, God uses the picture of a storm in verses 14 and 15 to demonstrate the power that he's going to grant to his people so that they can overcome their enemies. Well, then in verse 1 through 5 of chapter 10, our Lord will destroy the false shepherds who misled his people into sin and her woes. You see, Israel had suffered terribly under the discipline of the Lord because she had gone after idols. One of the main reasons why she had gone after idols is that she had false shepherds who misled her. And so God is going to deal with these false shepherds. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the latter time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain, even to everyone grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity. The diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, and I punished the goats. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and has made them as his goodly horse in the battle. Out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle bow, and out of him every oppressor together. And they shall be as mighty men, which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight, because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded." So you have a couple of metonymies here, and I need to go through and decode a lot of this. Taking the picture of a storm and applying it in a different direction, the Lord promised that the source of Israel's messianic blessings will be the Lord as opposed to idolatrous false shepherds. The false shepherds had misled Israel, letting her go into idolatry and into divine discipline. So God promised to punish the false shepherds and to care for his flock, to make them courageous as is a proud horse in battle, and thus successful in overcoming their Gentile foes. They had been overcome by their Gentile foes because they'd gone into sin, and God had no alternative but to judge them by their foes. One main reason was is because they had false shepherds. God says, "I'm going to do away with the false shepherds." And, of course, he's going to have one tremendous shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's going to lead them into righteousness, and they will be blessed. Okay, in verses 6 through 10 of chapter 6 through 12, rather, of Zechariah chapter 10, our Lord will regather all scattered Israel at his coming. Of course, this regathering will occur because Israel will be repenting. Verses 6 and 7, "And I will strengthen the house of Judah. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man. Their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad, and their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord." The Lord promised to strengthen and compassionately deliver Israel from her Gentile enemies to the joy and the rejoicing of Israel and her God. You know, there are some who believe that God is no longer going to work with the nation Israel, that the Israel of the Old Testament becomes the church of the New Testament. But that's not what these passages talk about. These passages talk about the people of Israel. Someday when they get back to their Messiah and repent and they believe in Christ, God's going to turn back and raise up that nation again. He's going to fulfill the Abrahamic covenant literally. And, of course, that's why we're pre-tribulationists. We believe in God's working with the nation Israel. That means the rapture has to occur before the Messianic kingdom and so forth, before the tribulation period. Well, Israel will then be gathered from her world dispersion as God signals for her to return. In verse 8, I will hiss for them. Actually, this we would translate, I will whistle for them. It's like a shepherd whistling for his sheep. And will gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased. It's a very beautiful picture here that God is going to signal, he's going to whistle, and they're going to come. Now, you know, people say, well, I thought Israel has been regathered. You've got a lot of Jews in Israel, but you've got a lot more Jews scattered throughout the world, in Argentina, New York City, all sorts of places. You've got many more Jews than who live there. But the day is going to come when all the Jews are going to go back to the land of Israel, and it's going to be very heavily populated by Jewish people. And they're all going to be believers in Christ. They're going to be yielded to him. It's going to be a time of tremendous blessing and joy. This regathering of all Israel to the land will come with redemption and multiplication of the people. That's what verse 8 is about. And the people of Israel will remember their Lord, and God will bring them back into the land in a very wonderful, true spiritual reunion of Israel with her Creator God. Verses 9 and 10, and I will sow them among the people. They shall be remembered me in far countries, and they shall live with their children and turn again. And I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt and gather them out of Assyria, and I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon, and a place shall not be found for them. Beautiful picture. And then every obstacle to this regathering will be removed, as when God led Israel through the sea on dry land and the crossing of the Red Sea and in the Jordan River. In verse 11 he says, and he shall pass through the sea with affliction and shall smite the waves in the sea, and all the depths of the river shall dry up. That's a picture. Every single obstacle that they face in coming back to the land will be removed, just as God removed the obstacle of the Red Sea, removed the obstacle of the Jordan so they could cross. He's going to do it again. It's going to be like the Old Testament again. Israel's relationship with the Lord is going to be revitalized like that. It's going to be terribly exciting to witness. You and I have read about the book of Exodus. We've seen God's working in the Old Testament, but that we're going to see that. We're going to visually see this again. It's going to be a thrilling thing to see the God of the Old Testament once again working with his people Israel in time of rejoicing. And notice the last part of verse 11. The pride of Assyria shall be brought down, and the scepter, which refers to the throne of Egypt, shall depart away. In other words, Assyria and Egypt represent two of the kingdoms that had oppressed Israel. In those days, the kingdoms that had oppressed Israel are going to be done away with as far as kingdoms. They're going to be subservient kingdoms to Israel. Israel will be on top and all these other kingdoms will be down below. So typifying all of Israel's Gentile foes, Egypt and Assyria will be subjected to the Lord, and the people of Israel will be strengthened so that their behavior, that means their walk, will be in God's name, and that would be to his glory. Verse 12, and I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk. That means they shall, their behavior, up and down in his name. That's to the glory of the Lord, saith the Lord. Can you imagine this? The whole nation of Israel glorifying the Lord and living as mature believers filled with the Spirit of God. That's going to be a marvelous thing. Millions upon millions of these people, the descendants of Abraham, worshiping the Lord, loving the Lord. No wonder there's going to be peace. And that's why God's going to pour his blessings out on the world. So the lesson is to encourage returned exiles to follow him. God had Zechariah predict the great worldwide peace of Messiah's coming kingdom, of Israel's final victory over all her Gentile foes, when God will judge her false shepherds who had led her into vain idols and result in divine punishment by such oppression, and of the regathering and spiritual renewal and blessings of repentant, restored Israel. So in application, may we also focus on our eventual blessings as motivation to keep fervently serving the Lord, and then may we be wary of false shepherds who detract us from God's truth and blessings, and discern the true from false shepherds by written scripture. I put a passage in here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 to 17, a passage that is very applicable to this whole issue of false shepherds. Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a pastor, but this section is very applicable to us today. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 13, Paul says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." In other words, literally, they shall go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's something I've begun to notice. Sometimes deceivers get so bad they actually deceive themselves. It's retroactive. It's phenomenal. "But continue thou in the things," verse 14, "which you have learned, and have become convinced are true, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is God-breathed, or is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, having been thoroughly equipped unto all good works. It's a marvelous. You have a passive perfect tense there in verse 17. The word of God, you don't have to try to equip yourself. It will equip you. You'll be the one that's going to be equipped. It has an active force to equip you automatically. You will have been equipped, perfectly equipped. And notice, not only to some good works, but unto all good works. The word of God does this. You know, we've had an application in regards to this. I was talking with some Christians this past weekend, and they shared, there's a church in the area somewhere in Connecticut. It's a Bible teaching church where there was a Sunday school teacher who was teaching youth. And this teacher started teaching something that wasn't quite right. And it was really offensive to the students. And eventually the students left his class and they went to a younger grade, I believe it was. So eventually they got a different teacher. And when they got a different teacher, the kids started coming back to this particular teacher. Well, that teacher who had been teaching that which was wrong, I have since learned is possibly into legal trouble right now with the police. And it's shown up there is a problem in regards to this person's walk. And it showed up, first of all, it showed up in the teaching. But now it's shown up in the life. And, you know, this has really hit a number of people in the area because they know some of these people, some of the kids and so forth. We have to be very careful and very vigilant because sometimes in churches there may be tares, people that may actually not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They'll get into a church organization, maybe even try to work closely with the youth, and then it may not be really good. Or they may be very carnal or not. But you can see, Israel got into trouble because she was exposed to false shepherds. And so we need to be very vigilant and make sure that we're testing everything. And I would hope, and I've shared this a number of times with people in the body here, I would hope that the words that I'm sharing with you are tested by you through the Word of God, because I don't want to misrepresent God's Word, but the only sure source of truth, the absolute source of truth that you have is the Word of God. And check it up. If I'm doing the job of expressing what God's Word says, fine. But, you know, I'm a man. I'm fallible, and I can err. So I always challenge people, check everything that comes from the pulpit, whether it's me who's ministering from the pulpit or somebody else. Because it's your welfare that's at stake, your spiritual welfare with the Lord.